Oh, yeah, it does. There we go. Good evening. Wow, that was very, that was it peaked there. That was very exciting. And now we have the sermon. all right, so our sermon today is on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. We're going through the first several chapters of 1 Corinthians that are having to do with wisdom. So this is part of that series. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 16. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For he who knows a person's thoughts, for who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but he is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you will bless our time in the word this evening. We pray that you would be honored and glorified through what we discuss and learn this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been a member of a club? Probably you have. Some clubs are easy to get into. You just say you want to join and you're in. Others might require an entrance fee or annual dues or something like that. And some are really hard to get into. When I was a boy, my brother and some friends and I tried to start a club. You had to know the password to join, so it was obviously a very exclusive club. We had great plans for a clubhouse, but at some point, we kind of realized that the club really didn't do anything, and so why did we need a password to a club that really didn't do anything? So that club lasted, I don't know, a week or so. So a password is a kind of a secret knowledge that allows a group to determine who is in and who is out. The Corinthians would be familiar with secret religious groups that you could only join if you had secret knowledge. Paul in verse 7 says, "We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God." But you cannot tap into this wisdom through a password or through some sort of esoteric hidden knowledge. And Paul isn't trying to keep the password a secret. He's doing the opposite, of course. He's spreading the gospel all over the world. And now, in this passage, it has reached the city of Corinth. So in this passage, I'd like to talk about two versions of wisdom, two versions of spirit, and two versions of knowledge. Two of wisdom, spirit, and knowledge, and then at the end we'll talk about how they fit together. All right, first, two versions of wisdom. Let's read verses 6 through 10, the first part of verse 10. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. So in the verse just before our passage, Paul just told the Corinthians that he doesn't want them to rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. So that's why that we start the passage with the word yet in verse 6. And that word contrasts the difference between a wisdom of this age and the wisdom that Paul and his companions are trying to impart, are trying to explain to the mature Christians. Now, Paul's prime example of the wisdom of this age is what he calls the rulers of this age. John Piper suggests that Paul was pointing especially at the Roman government officials in Judea and to the Jewish council in Jerusalem as the rulers of this age. Paul says these rulers abused their authority and crucified the Lord of glory. The wisdom these rulers relied on for their actions was not from God. It was the wisdom of this age, grounded in a desire for power, control, and human acclaim. And what is the outcome of this kind of pursuit of the wisdom of this age? Verse 6 says that they are doomed to pass away. Verse 7 contrasts wisdom of this age with a secret and hidden wisdom of God. Another translation might be the wisdom concealed in mystery. A mystery to Paul is not a mystery to be solved, a problem to be solved. A mystery is a truth that was not fully revealed already in the past, but has now become apparent. So in particular, the mystery is the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. The mystery of the gospel is the incarnation, Jesus' perfect fulfillment of the law, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and our entering into glory in the presence of God. So that's what Paul means by a mystery. Paul has this whole sweep of salvation history in mind in verses 9 and 10. Quoting from Isaiah 64:4, Paul reveals what this mystery is for him. He says, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." Those wonderful things that Isaiah was talking about, those amazing blessings, were hinted at in the Old Testament, but in the gospel, those things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, these things God has revealed to us in the Spirit. So it was kind of hinted at previously in the Old Testament, and now it's laid clear and plain. But in the gospel, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. So the mystery of God's purpose has been revealed at last, and all we can do is marvel at the depth and at the breadth and the power of God's love for us, shown through Jesus' life and death and resurrection. We, as Christians, treasure the good news, Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection, and all the things that God accomplished through this. But just for a moment, imagine that you were a faithful Jew just before the time of Jesus. You would know from the Hebrew Bible that God loves you, But the depths to which God loves you, that he would send his son to die in our place on the cross, the righteous for the unrighteous, and that we could be reconciled to God through this, it's simply amazing. From that point of view, we see it, we know it happened, but if we were there at the time, I think we would just be floored at the depths of God's love for us. So that's two versions of wisdom. Now let's talk about two versions of spirit. We're going to look at verses 10b through 13. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So, like there is earthly wisdom and godly wisdom, there are two versions of spirit. There's the spirit of the world, and there's the Holy Spirit. What is the spirit of the world? It's all the things people around us pursue: power and money, intellect, and so forth. It's life lived without considering God. This contrasts with life in the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, God reveals the amazing gifts that come with salvation. Verse 12 says that we Christians have the Holy Spirit, and therefore we can, to some extent, comprehend the thoughts of God as the Spirit reveals them. But how does that revealing work? The second half of verse 10 says that the Holy Spirit searches the very depths of God. The Spirit knows God intimately and completely. How is that possible? Verse 11 says, "Who knows the thoughts of a person except the spirit of that person which is in him?" So Paul is giving an analogy here in a way. Only God and I know me inside out, right? No one but I has firsthand knowledge of being me, and the same, of course, with you. I can show myself, you can show yourself to others, so they can truly know you, but they don't know what it is to be you. Only I, or we might say only my spirit, can reliably know my very thoughts and feelings as they arise in my mind. And only the Holy Spirit can search the very depths of God. So only I can know me, and only the Holy Spirit can know the depths of God. And God also knows me even better than I know myself, right? So only the Holy Spirit can comprehend the thoughts of God. If we are ever to know God intimately, we can't rely on our spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, Paul says, we might understand the things freely given us by God. Verse 13 tells us that human wisdom cannot understand the gift of being in Christ. Godly wisdom must be taught us by the Holy Spirit. And only those who have the Holy Spirit can understand the things that are freely given, us by God. The very words that Paul uses to impart this truth to us are not taught by human wisdom, but by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. People with godly wisdom are the same as those who are spiritual. So godly wisdom and being spiritual, they're the same group of people. And that is also the same as the group of people who have been given the Holy Spirit. Godly wisdom, from godly wisdom comes spirituality, from the Holy Spirit, godly wisdom comes spiritually from the Holy Spirit and has nothing to do with the spirit of this world or with earthly wisdom. You might have heard the expression, you can't get there from here. Well, you can't get godly wisdom from the wisdom of this age. You can't get there from here. You can only receive it from God through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so there are two spirits. There's the spirit of this age, and there's the Holy Spirit. I'd like to try to think honestly here. Which spirit, the Holy Spirit or the spirit of this age, which spirit do you spend the most time listening to? And I'd suggest that you pray that God would work in your heart and your mind so that you would be influenced more and more by the Holy Spirit and not by the spirit of this age. And we all know how tempting it is to think about the things of the spirit of this age. All right, so our third point. There are two versions of knowledge. So there were two kinds of wisdom or versions of wisdom, two versions of spirit, and two versions of knowledge. Let's read verses 14 through 16. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but he is himself to be judged by no one. For who understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The natural person has knowledge of natural things, book knowledge and even street smarts possibly. But they often use this knowledge for self-serving ends. Verse 14 tells us that the natural person sees the things of the Spirit of God as folly, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. We must have the Spirit of God to understand the things of the Spirit. Verse 15 says, the spiritual person judges all things. With the Holy Spirit at work in your life, you have all the human wisdom and intellect that a natural person does. But the Holy Spirit in you enables you to evaluate human wisdom. The Spirit enables you to discern whether a bit of wisdom is truly true godly wisdom or just counterfeit earthly wisdom. A Christian has the Spirit. A Christian belongs to God, is the adopted son or daughter of God and co-heir with Jesus of eternal life in God's presence. Others may try to condemn a true Christian, but this true Christian is in Christ and covered by the blood of the Lamb. The Christian is ultimately judged by no one except God, and he judges them as having the perfect righteous life that Jesus lived. Praise God. And no one can legitimately judge God or instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ, verse 16 says. Being in Christ, trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, changes you. You have the same intellect as before. You have the same body as before. But now you have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit reveals wisdom inaccessible to the natural person. We have the mind of Christ. So we've seen how earthly wisdom differs from godly wisdom, how an unspiritual person differs from a spiritual one, and how earthly understanding differs from the mind of Christ. Let's talk a little bit about how this works in our lives. When we first put our trust in Christ, God gives us the Holy Spirit. The Spirit shows us the folly of human wisdom and the beauty of godly wisdom. And godly wisdom is personified in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:24 refers to Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So knowing Jesus better and better, allowing the Holy Spirit to form the mind of Christ in us as we navigate through life, these things help to make better and more help us to make better and more godly decisions. Wise people pray often and deeply. They consider options and evaluate the likely outcomes of their own decisions. They learn from their mistakes and they commit to making better, more God-pleasing choices next time. And godly wisdom is priceless. Proverbs 8:35 says, "For whoever finds me," and me here is the godly wisdom, "whoever finds godly wisdom finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." So do we need to figure out the secret password to become a Christian? No. But know this. There is a Savior, and you must put your trust in him. Yet even this faith is a gift from God. We know that from Ephesians 2:8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." I told you that my childhood club failed because we didn't have a purpose. Well, belonging to Jesus, trusting him, gives us the highest purpose imaginable. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Praise and joy for eternity. How about your eternity? Are you depending on yourself? Are you hoping to come up with the right password? Or will you put your trust in Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you didn't leave us wallowing in our sin. We thank you that you didn't leave us holding on to earthly wisdom and false spirituality and empty knowledge. Thank you for saving us through Jesus. We're so grateful. And thank you for our wonderful and loving Savior, Jesus. We pray in his name, amen.